The hub is a great example because there are a lot of people. What we have in abundance in our country is a thriving youth population.
Absolutely.
who have a can-do approach to things.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Africa Solar Roundtable brought to you by Olon. My name is Jadisola Rawa, and thank you for joining us from wherever it is in the world that you listen to your podcast. I have a very interesting and special guest here today. You know, when you're talking to your boss's boss, I can assure you I'm under no pressure. I've just been sweating for the past 2 hours. But I have Dr. Osagie Okubo in the studio with me today. And if you know anything within this whole space, you will know who this gentleman is, but I'm going to allow him to say hello to us.
Hello, everyone. Great to be here and good afternoon. As he's just said, my name is Osagie Okubo. I was a pioneer chair of Olon when we started this company about 10 years ago. I recently just retired from the company and from the board, but I have left the board and the company in very, very capable hands. So I'm retiring a very happy man.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so he's told you a bit about himself, but I'm going to take him back now. So you just retired, like you said, as the country chair of Shell and also from the Olon board.
Yeah.
How many years were you in the role as the country chair at Olon? As board?
For Shell, it was for 10 years.
Whoa.
And essentially all on since inception. Since that must be about...
Almost 10 years,
about 9 years. Yeah, I've done quite a few things in Shell, but as I always say, all on is one of the ones I'm very, very proud of.
Awesome. In fact, that takes me to my other question I was going to ask you, that what do you consider one of your greatest legacies, you know, both as country chair for Shell and also at Olon?
Well, it's actually impacting the life of the everyday person. As you know, the wider Shell in Nigeria is one of the, probably the biggest contributor to our foreign exchange earnings as a country. So we do pay quite a lot of taxes, and we do a lot of community type investments, education, health, and all of that. But the special focus for Olon was indeed to reach the unserved and underserved, primarily in our then area of operations in the Niger Delta, but also increasingly across the country. And just the impact in terms of access to energy for many of our people who, frankly, otherwise would never have access to even basic energy for light bulbs, for electricity, for cooling, for just basic comforts of life.
Yeah.
Just being able to reach them via the Olon vehicle, I just consider one of the best things that we have done as a company, but certainly to me as an individual, one of the most fulfilling aspects of my career.
And that takes me to the question I was going to ask, because like, I'm trying to get into the mind of a CEO. Where did the idea even come from? Here you are at the top of your career, you know, in an oil and gas, you know, firm. Yeah. Where did the idea even come from to say, how do we do this? What were you thinking? I think is what I would like to know. What was going on in your head when the idea for Olon came about?
Yeah, like I said, across our then businesses in Nigeria, when I became country chair, we are essentially big supporters of government, of the states. We pay billions of dollars every year in taxes from our operations, together with our joint venture partners, of course. But I went around quite a bit our areas of operations in the Delta. Government is trying to do its bit, but you just find that many of our people just still lacked the basic essence of development.
Yeah.
So even though as a company we spent hundreds of millions of dollars in all sorts of social investments, in education, scholarships,
yeah,
health, and all sorts, I had a particular interest in just access to energy, because that's one that was close to, very much close to our business.
Yeah.
So you don't feel good when you come out of your own house, your own offices with constant light.
Yeah.
And then you go into many of our communities,
yeah,
and then people are just struggling to have just access to light, to electricity. So that essentially kind of pricked something in me when, yeah, I took this job, that we need to do something in this space. And very importantly, we'll do it in such a way that it is sustainable.
Yes.
That we don't make profit from it. So everything that comes out of investments in this area goes back into generating more investments in, yes, this area. How best do we do in such a way that it is reachable, it's accessible, but it's also affordable? So were the kind of things that essentially occupied my mind. The next thing was to then find people who had the same passion. And there are one or two people I would just mention who shared this dream. We had a colleague at the time. His name was Thomas Gerges. Thomas is now one of our managers in the Middle East, Egyptian national, but extremely passionate about this area. So essentially one of those I recruited to come help with the thinking,
yeah,
with the setup. I also want to recognize Weber, that we recruited as the first CEO. And a couple of other guys,
yeah,
Yuki, today to you guys,
yeah,
who have just carried that dream. I think as at now, we must have well over 300 connections through the years. So what just gives me joy is when you get into the communities and you just hear the joy that comes out of folks, either in terms of what they enjoy in terms of
power,
even catalyzing some of their businesses like cooling, being able to just freeze their wares,
yeah,
and make some decent living
out,
yeah,
of it.
It's just it's something quite fulfilling. That's why I said, even though I was chairman of Shell, where we generate revenues of billions of dollars,
yeah,
this is the one that actually touches.
This is your baby.
the everyday one. So I took a lot of interest in it. And I'm quite happy as to where Olon has got into today.
Fantastic.
So I want to again thank and congratulate your team. Like I said, I left, I'm living a very happy man, because I think you have, as Olon, you have made your mark and you continue to expand.
Absolutely.
So just see how well you are doing.
Hey, so shout out to Thomas, shout out to Weber Boa, yeah, shout out to the whole Olon team. You guys get props from the bosses, boss. Awesome. So this brings me, you know, like you mentioned, Olon's been in existence for about 9+ years now. Yeah. And, you know, you said that at the beginning, one of the greatest things was getting people that bought into your vision for what you wanted Olon to be. But what would you say has been the biggest challenge that, you know, that you would say that you faced? Because to be very honest with you, and this is from my, you know, me operating in this space for a minute, the idea is revolutionary. There's no one can deny that.
Yeah.
And it was way ahead of its time. I mean, yes, there are a lot of people now copying and following in the footpath. But, you know, when you're coming up with an idea that people haven't really tried before, there's always sure to be pushback. Like, yeah, are you sure? Do you know what you're doing?
Absolutely.
So how were you able to overcome that? How did you get everybody to see what you saw 9 years ago for Olon?
You're quite right. Let me first say, in the Shell side of things, also it helped that I was the chairman, so I carried a bit of weight. But it wasn't a very difficult thing on the Shell side of things. I remember my colleagues and then bosses in The Hague bought onto this idea very early. If I remember one of my very senior colleagues saying, when we had a vision that we needed to reach 1 million people, and he said, if we spent this money, and the risk at the time was that the sector was not well developed. Now we have the hub to help people essentially build their businesses and understand what they are going to do, how to raise funds and all of that. We didn't really have that ecosystem at the time. Yeah. So there was a high risk that many of these businesses would start and they would not be sustainable.
Yeah.
So we needed to find a way to make them sustainable, also understanding that in the process, some will succeed and some will probably have to relook their business plans and all that. I remember him essentially saying, Osage, so even if we can reach half of this population and somehow the others will spend some money building them up, they don't quite succeed, I would personally be fulfilled.
Yeah.
So we went into this knowing that we were entering an environment that was totally undeveloped, unlike our own more regular business of producing oil and gas.
Yeah.
We've done that for 100 years, so we understand it fully. But this, we're going to
be,
exactly, we're trying to reach out to build young businesses in an area. Then when you talked essentially investments in solar energy and all of that, people are looking at you and saying, okay, this one, is it viable? Is it going to? But because of the belief system we had, belief system heavily anchored on the fact of the impact we wanted to create, we're prepared to keep going.
Yeah.
And in the early days, I remember one of the most difficult board meetings was when we invested in one of the companies that at that time was the most promising. We liked to talk about it at the time. But a few years later, it went bust. And we're looking at ourselves in the room. Well, how did we get this wrong?
Yeah.
But it was very important that we didn't allow that deter us. We continued to push ahead. Today, you have dozens of companies.
That thing was very important.
Everything from solar production, mini grids, all over the place. So it's been a success story. But at the beginning, it was challenging. But we had, I would say, we had the best of the Shell heads in the room in terms of helping these businesses build up, in terms of helping them develop, in terms of getting to a place where they are now viable entities. They are employing a lot of people.
Yes.
The last outing we had, somebody came out of
Yes.
And just talked from his heart, elderly guy, as to what this has meant for them.
Yeah.
Electricity and stuff like that have been things that they have only dreamt about. But the mini grid solution that we helped catalyze there has just changed lives.
Yes.
So that gives you quite a bit of...
In fact, that takes me very nicely into the question I was going to ask, that, you know, I mean, as board chair, you know, you must have heard like a few stories here and there, because, you know, it goes, I say sometimes that, you know, it goes, when you stop looking at the numbers and you start looking at the lives, that's when it really makes sense.
Absolutely.
So is there any particular story that stands out to you that you've heard about? Maybe, you know, I don't know, it could be even from, you know, like you said, the party recently. Is there any particular story that stands out to you about the impact that, you know, the work that Olon does has made, that makes you wake up in the morning and say, yes, it's a good day?
Absolutely. I mean, it's we always said from the very beginning that where Olon will be seen to succeed is an impact.
Yeah.
We didn't set this up to make money.
Yeah.
Like I said, every amount we made went straight back into catalyzing more businesses. I think the high point for me was a few years ago when, as young as Olon was, it was actually voted the Impact Investment Business of the Year.
Drum roll. Thank you very much.
Well, that was, for me, that was underlining the point that this business has come of age, is fulfilling its mandate, and it's really proving the concept that we thought it was going to be. And since that time, every time I sit down and just listen to proper panels, global panels, and you have the CEO of Olon sitting there just talking about impact investing and all, it gives me a lot of satisfaction. But like I said, ultimately, the rubber hits the road when you go into a community and you see an example of what Olon has done. And I keep going to this Owerri-Kohai example because that was a blend of boldness, because it wasn't just about small solar home systems. This is actually get into a mini grid solution.
Absolutely.
In communities that otherwise would have taken forever. So I liked that example also because we saw an individual come out of that community to talk about it, talk about the impact on their lives.
Yeah.
That's really what you want to see ultimately. That's what makes you sleep well.
Absolutely. And he was actually on the podcast a few weeks ago, you know, just talk, and I think one of the things that he said that kind of really just touched all of us, cast and crew alike, was he said, all honor has given us life. That when you have power, you have life. That the entire community has just transformed overnight.
Absolutely.
Because children can read at night, you know, the women can run their businesses, their new businesses popping up. And it was like, they're actually the pride of the entire region now, because everybody, people are now moving into their community just because they have power. So I think, you know, that's one of the most awesome things about this. Now, I mean, I could talk to you forever, but before we round up, one of the questions that I have is, as a visionary in this space, and because, I mean, sometimes it's difficult for people to accept their flowers because you're like, oh, no, don't talk about it. But we will talk about it because just the whole idea of Olon is visionary. It's, you know, ahead of its time. So what do you think can be done to further accelerate energy access in Nigeria? You know, before you retire and leave us to our devices, I'm going to call you for an interview, you refuse to come. I say, it's not you people's problem, go handle it. So what else do you think that, you know, and this could be, what else can the private sector do? What else could the government do? What else could the average everyday person do just to change things?
First and foremost, I think this is an idea whose time has gone because it's a combination of everyday access, but it's also clean energy. So you couldn't wish for better. So I think we have done a bit to catalyze this space. What we need to encourage a bit more now is more people to come in. There are challenges. I mean, we talk of all these successes. At the very last of the board meetings, one of the challenges we talked about was people just being able to fund their businesses when they take these loans to run their businesses. They take it in forex. And because of the forex crisis of the recent past, they have actually struggled because most of their products and what they deliver into the communities
are in currency,
and so before you knew it, there was so we do need to find a mechanism from not just companies like ours but other like-minded companies who share these ideals to find a way to manage this Naira Forex
thing. Yeah.
Thankfully, the Forex regime in the past 6 months or 9 months have stabilized.
Indeed, yes.
A lot of credit to the government and to the CBN. But that underlying problem, the underlying challenge is still there. We do need to find a way to get other people into this space.
Absolutely.
I think one of the greater areas and the better areas that I think Olon essentially has worked on is the demand aggregation,
DAS
program, where we can find a way to aggregate the demand instead of this
piecemeal
approach, aggregate the demand and find a way to fund it. So these are excellent examples. The hub is a great example because there are a lot of people. What we have in abundance in our country is a thriving youth population
who have
a can-do approach to things. But that enthusiasm needs to be channeled into proper business propositions, business proposals. And that's where the hub comes in. Help them think through the process, the funding regime, the business plan, so that by the time they come to market to try and do these things, they actually have a business that stands a good chance of making it. So there's a lot in this space for entities. And we don't necessarily have to see it as CSR. So long as we go into this on the basis of the essence of impact.
Absolutely.
And not looking to make money.
Make money.
Instead, anything that comes up puts it back. So I really want to encourage both national and international entities. There are quite a few playing in this space. But I think the time for this idea is now. So we really want to. I would actually feel much better in retirement when I see a lot more Olons, Olon growing, but a lot more Olons in our space in the country, because our country has a number of people still who are still underserved.
Absolutely.
And we do need them to have access to energy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have two more questions for you before we let you go. And one of them speaks to your retirement and how tired you are, or maybe not tired at the moment. But, you know, just to speak to what you were talking about, I mean, like you said, one of the things that you've given us at All On is just literally the wings to soar. We recently, last week, concluded a tertiary institution challenge where we had over 400 students from Nigerian universities come up with their own solutions to different things. So whether that's to generate power, whether that's to get rid of waste, you know, it's just, you know, and we had, you know, like winners and, you know, we, and this is our third year of doing this competition. So now you have a station where over, I think we had applications from about 70 universities and tertiary institutions in Nigeria, you know, and so this is something, in fact, one of them, the first person to win 3 years ago, I was talking to him and I said, oh, have you gone for youth service? I was like, youth service can't wait. I'm a CEO now. I have a business now. I'm just off of winning the competition. So I think it's a great thing for you to know how your vision is now taking wings and, you know, like you said, getting the youth involved and engaged. So now let's talk about retirement. Do you feel tired? I know that your tenure at Shell was about 39 years, almost 40, almost four decades. So do you feel tired, or are you at the point where you're like, what else am I going to do? What's the new frontier that I'm going to conquer? We want to hear it first.
Absolutely. Yeah, 39 years is a long time. I'm sure maybe
most of them were not born.
Maybe in the room, only a few people were born at the time. So I joined Shell Spitz straight out of school and following my youth service. So most of my life had been Shell life. It's a great company to work for, not just because I retired as a country chairman and MD of SPDC before we sold that entity, but it's really a great company to work for. I think it equips you very well to prepare for life.
Absolutely.
I'm just over 60, so I need to take some time to first catch my breath and rest. But our country has a lot of challenges ahead, and I don't intend to go and hide inside my room without being part of trying to address these challenges. I have, like I said, 39 years working for the leading energy company in this country means that you have a lot to offer. It's also an industry that still contributes over 80% of our foreign exchange earnings. So we need to find a way to make this industry work. So wherever I can still lend my expertise, I will. But the only thing I can say, there will be no longer a full-time job to run there. I would have to do it in a more supporting environment. But I will take some time to rest. It's important to spend a bit more time with my family. In the past 10 years as country chair, as my wife likes to say, there was probably no week I was not in the air somewhere
trying
to catch up with something somewhere. So
absolutely.
Time to spend a bit of time with family and then recharge my batteries, then
and then get back in the thick of things.
And, but not full time,
not fully
in the thick of things like that. Just support ventures that I think are meaningful and have essentially conformed with my purpose in life. And you have just heard me talk about reaching the underserved and unserved in an energy access basis. There's still so much to do in this country that we all don't have the luxury of going to be sailing around the world and enjoying yourself.
I mean, I think if you decided to do that, you can say that you very well earned it. Exactly. But, you know, for the sake of all of us that are passionate about Nigeria and changing the, you know, changing the future, I think we're just happy to hear that you're still going to be around and, you know, offering your expertise. So my final question, and I feel like people listening to this podcast will really beat me if I do not ask this question, because it's something that I've been curious about for a few years, right? And this is the question. What does someone in your position eat for breakfast? It's a very weird question, but I feel like, you know, like young people can say, ah, if that's what country chair was eating when he had that idea, it would give you, because they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So what, very random, very weird, but what does someone like you eat for breakfast that would make you have ideas like All On?
I think most of my ideas actually happen when I'm in the shower, actually, that's on breakfast.
See, young people, take your shower.
I don't want to spoil our young people or or go against medical advice. When I was younger, I used to do quite a bit of regular breakfast. I try not to make it white bread. I try to make it wheat bread. I know I have to keep fighting my daughters because they don't understand why anybody would be eating this tasteless bread. They want to eat the sweet one.
Yeah.
But gradually, as they have grown older, they have realized that it's good to have healthy ones. But in my later years, I try to just minimize it and keep it to some coffee with milk and sugar in the mornings, sweetener in the mornings, and then do lunch and dinner. So as I turned 60, that became my modus operandi because I like my foods. I don't want to eat three big meals. If I eat three big meals, it's a bit of a problem. Mm. So when I have to eat, I try to make it these days. I love my boiled yam and egg sauce.
Nice.
With some chicken or fish. I like that for the weekends. But during the week, generally, I tend to just stick with my coffee with milk and sweetener in the morning, then have my lunch at about 1 o'clock and dinner. What I'm not saying to young people, don't do that. Eat your, because in my younger days, I always had my healthy breads, eggs, sausage. And then at some point I tried, transferred to, was it Ugi? Is that what we call
pap.
It?
Pap, yes.
Pap and moi moi.
Yeah.
At some point. So I've gone through my phases of, but I have to think of my weight now, not a black man. Yeah. But also, like, I have to say, not just what you eat, but please exercise. Exercise is extremely, extremely important. Even at my age, I try to exercise regularly.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Like I said, we could talk to you forever, but we're just so glad that we're able to kind of like just drag you out of retirement just to have this conversation with us. And we hope that the vision that you've had for this country, you know, like almost 10 years ago when you started Olon, we hope that this is a vision that multiplies in your lifetime and that you're going to see just, you know, the millions of lives that will continue to be impacted by the fact that you had an idea and you were bold enough to go for it. So for that, we say thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And all the best with Olon. I will be watching you very closely, like I say.
Thank you. We will keep that in mind.
Sorry, you will not let me down. So
we won't.
Congratulations on all you have been doing.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Oh my goodness, you guys, I've had the most fantastic time. I mean, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I wasn't as nervous as I thought I was going to be. But we've had the most fantastic conversation with Dr. Osagie Okubo. And we hope that, you know, like we can bring him back, you know, when he starts contributing to just Nigeria, you know, with his expertise, like he said, you know, in a different category, not as, you know, Shell country chair. But it was a fantastic episode today. And I hope to see you when we have the next conversation with the next impact maker. Ciao.